The Sober Girl Society Handbook has become a cultural phenomenon, reshaping how an entire generation views sobriety. Founder Millie Gooch's manifesto has resonated with thousands of women worldwide, including celebrities like Lily Allen and Fern Cotton, who've publicly praised its life-changing message. What started as a personal Instagram account in 2018 has evolved into a global movement with sold-out events across the UK. The book's success reflects a significant cultural shift. Nearly a third of young adults now abstain from alcohol completely, challenging the notion that drinking is essential for socializing. Unlike traditional recovery literature, Gooch's approach isn't about hitting rock bottom, but about questioning why we drink at all, making sobriety feel less like deprivation and more like liberation. Her revolutionary perspective? That the best version of yourself isn't hiding at the bottom of a wine glass. It emerges when you put the glass down. Our relationship with alcohol is deeply embedded in society. It's everywhere from baby showers to funerals, office celebrations to first dates. We've normalized drinking to the point where abstaining requires explanation, while consuming a toxic substance needs none. This cultural saturation makes alcohol unique among addictive substances. Imagine if we celebrated cocaine brunches or heroin happy hours with the same enthusiasm. The science behind alcohol is sobering. Ethanol, the same substance used in rocket fuel and paint thinners, diffuses rapidly across cell membranes, affecting virtually every organ system. It dehydrates the body, irritates the digestive system, disrupts electrolyte balance, compromises immunity, affects blood sugar levels, and destroys sleep quality. Far from being a health food, alcohol is officially classified as a Group 1 carcinogen, the same category as asbestos and tobacco. For millennials like Gooch, born in the early 1990s, alcohol culture was shaped by the Ledet era, when women proved equality by matching men drink for drink. Later, cultural icons like Kate Moss and fictional characters like Carrie Bradshaw cemented alcohol as the ultimate accessory of the empowered, fun-loving woman. This messaging worked. Between 1991 and 2004, alcohol-related deaths among women doubled in the UK. Gooch's personal journey mirrors many women's experiences. What began as occasional social drinking evolved into weekend binges that left her physically ill and mentally shattered. Despite maintaining a functional weekday life, her mental health deteriorated as hangxiety, that crushing anxiety following a night of drinking, became increasingly unbearable. The breaking point wasn't a dramatic rock bottom, but a collection of embarrassing and dangerous incidents. Unexplained blackouts, barefoot tube commutes, and a growing sense that alcohol had shifted from something she wanted to something she needed. The most profound irony Gooch identifies is how we've become obsessive about wellness in every area except alcohol. We scrutinize food labels, avoid sugar, embrace sustainability, celebrate body positivity, and profess love for healthcare systems, yet we wash down our organic meals with the same toxic substance used to sanitize our hands, while ignoring that alcohol costs the NHS $3.5 billion annually and contradicts virtually every wellness principle we claim to value. The sober movement has grown exponentially since 2018, with alcohol-free bars, events, and beverages becoming increasingly mainstream. Nearly a third of 16 to 24-year-olds now abstain completely, reflecting a significant cultural shift. This isn't just another wellness trend. It represents a fundamental questioning of alcohol's role in our lives. The term sober curious, coined by Ruby Warrington in 2019, describes questioning everything about your relationship with alcohol, not just personal consumption patterns, but societal norms around drinking. While some interpret it as exploring full sobriety, others use it to develop a more mindful relationship with alcohol, examining their motivations for drinking rather than consuming out of habit or social pressure. For many, moderation proves both exhausting and ultimately unattainable. Creating drinking rules like 3-drink maximums or only drinking on weekends becomes mentally consuming and ineffective. Alcohol affects decision-making, making it difficult to maintain self-imposed restrictions after a few drinks. If your motivation for drinking is to get drunk rather than to savor just one or two drinks, complete sobriety often becomes the simpler, more liberating choice. One significant barrier to addressing problematic drinking is the stigmatizing language around alcohol use. The term alcoholic creates an us versus them narrative that prevents many from addressing their drinking habits because they don't consider themselves bad enough. Medical literature increasingly replaces this term with alcohol use disorder to reflect alcohol's addictive nature without stigmatizing individuals. Unlike former smokers who aren't labeled for life, those who quit drinking often remain alcoholics forever, shifting blame away from alcohol itself, an addictive substance that permeates society, onto individuals. Recovery paths are deeply personal. While some find traditional programs like Alcoholics Anonymous helpful, others prefer secular approaches like Smart Recovery, extended challenges like Sober Spring or 1 Year No Beer, or community-based support like the Sober Girl Society. The key insight is that recovery isn't one size fits all. People can take what works from different approaches and create their own sustainable path. The right time to address your drinking is now. There will always be events, celebrations, and reasons to delay. Age is irrelevant. It's never too early or late to make positive life changes. Most importantly, struggling with alcohol doesn't make you abnormal. It makes you human. No one is naturally equipped to consume large amounts of toxic substances without consequences. The thousands of women in the Sober Girl Society who've realized drinking isn't for them, including countless celebrities who navigate high-profile events without alcohol, prove you're far from alone. When you stop drinking, your body undergoes remarkable transformations that no expensive wellness program could match. While individual experiences vary, the internal improvements happen regardless of external changes. And women often notice particularly significant benefits due to physiological differences that make us more vulnerable to alcohol's effects. Sleep quality improves dramatically. Although alcohol might help you fall asleep initially, it severely disrupts your sleep cycle, particularly the crucial REM stage, essential for mental health and well-being. During sleep, your body repairs itself. Cells regenerate, the brain flushes toxins, and energy is restored. Alcohol prevents this restorative process, essentially robbing you of truly restful sleep. Your skin undergoes a renaissance. Alcohol wreaks havoc on skin through multiple mechanisms, causing dark circles through disrupted sleep and dilated blood vessels, creating facial redness and inflammation, causing puffiness as dehydrated organs cling to water, and increasing breakouts as dilated pores create the perfect environment for acne. Initially, after quitting, skin may worsen as toxins exit the body, but with proper hydration and care, improvements follow within weeks. Your immune system strengthens significantly. Alcohol directly weakens immunity by affecting production of immune cells in bone marrow and damaging the gut lining, where 70% of immunity is located. Regular drinkers, especially of spirits like gin, which decrease beneficial gut bacteria, often develop gut dysbiosis with symptoms like bad breath and digestive issues. Even alcohol's characteristic effect on coordination happens because immune cells in the brain produce inflammatory molecules when exposed to alcohol. For women specifically, hormonal health improves. Sobriety connects you deeply with your body's rhythms, especially your menstrual cycle. Without alcohol's hormonal interference, periods become more regular and predictable. Harvard researchers found drinking more than 6 units weekly, 3 small glasses of wine, reduces a woman's conception chances by 18%, and no amount of alcohol is safe during pregnancy. Cancer risk decreases significantly. Though alcoholic beverages were declared carcinogenic in 1988, only recently has guidance been updated to recommend complete alcohol avoidance. Alcohol is linked to 7 cancer types. Bowel, breast, laryngeal, liver, mouth, esophageal, and pharyngeal. For some, like breast cancer, risk increases with even 1 daily drink. Neither alcohol type nor price matters when it comes to cancer risk. Your brain and vital organs begin healing. Even moderate drinking can cause brain damage. Cells change and shrink. Your brain literally gets smaller, affecting thinking, learning, and memory. Your liver, which acts as your body's bouncer, processing alcohol and removing toxins, begins repairing itself when you stop drinking. Your heart grows stronger as well, no longer weakened by alcohol's toxic effects. Despite persistent myths, there is no safe level of alcohol consumption. A 2018 global study in The Lancet confirmed that while moderate drinking may offer some heart disease protection by boosting good cholesterol, cancer and other disease risks outweigh these benefits. The bottom line? Even if red wine helps your heart somewhat, it's still not good for overall health. Perhaps the most profound transformation occurs in mental health. Despite the popularity of self-care tips like deep breathing and bubble baths, sobriety ranks above them all for mental wellness. The relationship between alcohol and mental health is complex. Alcohol affects the brain directly by stimulating some cognitive processes while dampening others, creating neurological chaos. Even after drinking stops, your brain continues trying to restore order, like cleaning up after a wild house party. The second pathway is through your gut. Alcohol compromises your immune system, contributing to inflammation associated with depression. It also prevents absorption of essential vitamins and minerals needed for good mental well-being. Beyond these biological impacts, alcohol indirectly damages mental health in countless ways. Constant lethargy, poor sleep, lack of exercise, blackout anxiety, shame about drunken behavior, isolation during hangovers, paranoia about others' perceptions, financial worries, smoking more, living in squalor, poor nutrition, hating your appearance, wasting holidays and weekends, guilt, and withdrawing from social connections. Blackouts, waking with zero recollection of the previous night, represent a particularly disturbing aspect of drinking. These aren't simply forgotten memories, but memories that were never formed at all. During blackouts, you can appear normal while driving, dancing, having conversations, or even having sex with no recollection afterward. Women are more susceptible due to lower muscle and body mass. The psychological toll of these missing memories is immense. The constant shame, paranoia about what you might have done, and fundamental loss of self-trust. Hangover anxiety, that all-encompassing feeling of dread after drinking, is so common it's earned nicknames worldwide. Hangxiety, or beer fear in the UK, boozanoia in Australia, and morkus, moral hangover, in Finland. The science explains why. Alcohol interrupts neurotransmitters like serotonin, causing anxiety, low mood, and irritability. The GABA pathway is particularly important, initially activated to make you feel calm, but later causing those avoided feelings to return with a vengeance. In surveys, 80-90% of people cited hangxiety as their primary reason for quitting alcohol. Social media has added new layers to hangover anxiety. Every drunken move is now documented. That kiss with a coworker might end up on someone's Instagram. You might spot yourself on the sidebar of shame after one too many at an event. Plus, scrolling through social media while hungover shows everyone else's productive morning while you're still piecing together last night. Beyond immediate anxiety, regular drinking creates deeper mental health issues by teaching us to fear our emotions. When we drink to relax or brighten our mood, we're replacing uncomfortable emotions with pleasant ones, strengthening inner tension and creating a negative cycle that's hard to break. Real confidence builds when you conquer discomfort without alcohol, proving to yourself you can handle future challenges. The pressure of edges and discomfort is what transforms us. Our most rewarding experiences lie just beyond our comfort zone. The U.S. Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration identifies 8 dimensions of wellness that optimize overall well-being: physical, emotional, spiritual, financial, social, environmental, intellectual, and occupational. The beauty of sobriety is that it creates a positive domino effect across all these dimensions while simultaneously becoming easier to maintain as these areas improve. Spiritual wellness isn't just about Reiki and moon cycles. It's about values, beliefs, and finding purpose. Being sober means better alignment with personal morals and keeping promises to yourself and others. It eliminates the disconnect between sober and drunk personas, helping you accept all parts of yourself rather than blaming mistakes on an evil twin. Self-forgiveness becomes crucial to breaking the shame drinking cycle. Many find that removing alcohol makes them more spiritually attuned by raising vibrations and enhancing psychic senses. Financial wellness improves dramatically. According to McCallum Cancer Support, the average Brit spends $787 annually on alcohol, about $50,000 lifetime. But the indirect costs are equally significant. Taxis after missing trains, replacement phones, cleaning fees for Ubers after vomiting, hangover food, cigarettes, damaged clothing, apology gifts, overdraft fees, painkillers, and impulsive online shopping. Sobriety allows you to finally manage your finances properly, though in early sobriety, it's perfectly reasonable to spend on self-care rather than immediately focusing on savings. Social wellness transforms as you discover connection doesn't require alcohol. Though it may seem counterintuitive, sobriety often makes you a better friend, more reliable, present, and genuinely engaged rather than just buying rounds. While drunk connections come easily, sober friendships are more authentic and lasting. You'll quickly sense genuine connections without needing alcohol as social lubricant. Environmental wellness improves as sobriety allows you to deal with what's in front of you, whether that's cleaning, decluttering, or being more conscious of sustainability. This dimension involves feeling safe in your environment and establishing surroundings that encourage good physical and mental health, conducive to being alcohol-free. Intellectual wellness expands as sobriety gives you time and energy for new interests. Many joke that you take up so many random hobbies in early sobriety that you emerge as a salsa-dancing botanist who can crochet and read tarot cards. These new interests offer fulfillment and help maintain sobriety. Many also reconnect with childhood passions that alcohol had replaced. Occupational wellness improves as sobriety makes you a better employee, punctual, alert, and professional at work events. This dimension also encourages investing in passions beyond your day job. Many women return to education, train for new careers, or start side hustles due to their newfound focus after quitting alcohol. Ultimately, sobriety gives you a better chance of increasing your overall well-being, which helps you stick with it long-term. Taking alcohol off the table allows you to invest more time and energy in improving these wellness dimensions, creating a full and happy life where drinking would only be detrimental. One of the biggest fears about sobriety is how it will change friendships, especially when alcohol has been central to bonding for years. Our culture falsely preaches that friendship requires alcohol, but supporting friends doesn't require wine, a depressant. It requires showing up physically, mentally, and emotionally. When telling drinking friends you're going sober, honesty works better than excuses. Simply saying, "I'm not drinking at the moment," is effective. Start by telling one supportive friend who can hold you accountable and help when social situations become overwhelming. Don't expect dramatic reactions. Like getting a new haircut, what feels life-changing to you often barely registers with others. Most sober people report initial skepticism from friends, followed by understanding and support once they witness positive changes. For nights out, manage your experience by suggesting alternative activities to drinking-centered outings, taking disco naps to combat fatigue, planning for Saturdays rather than Fridays when you're more rested, and taking regular breaks when feeling overwhelmed. The enjoyment of a sober night out isn't linear. The first hour might be awkward, but you'll likely settle in and ride the wave of others' relaxed vibes. Navigating bottomless brunches requires preparation. Call ahead to ensure non-alcoholic options exist, or bring your own if necessary. Avoid matching drinkers' pace with mocktails, as excessive juice can cause sugar headaches rivaling hangovers. Focus on the food aspect by ordering multiple courses as a treat, and make post-brunch plans that give you either an escape route or something to look forward to when others inevitably crash. For dinner parties and house gatherings, shift focus from drinking by bringing fancy mixers that impress guests while allowing you to add non-alcoholic spirits. As host, organize entertainment like games to energize the atmosphere, or volunteer to bring activities if attending. Research non-alcoholic drink pairings to elevate the dining experience and control the mood by creating the perfect playlist. Weddings present unique challenges as all-in events where alcohol flows freely. Remember that your greatest gift is being fully present on the couple's special day. While others become increasingly intoxicated, you'll truly honor the ceremony's meaning by witnessing every moment of joy. Offer assistance to the couple, volunteer to look after any children at the wedding, and find someone who can support your sobriety during challenging moments. If months into sobriety your friends remain unsupportive, it might be time to reconsider these relationships. Many in the sober community report losing friends who only connected with them through alcohol. Before cutting ties, have honest conversations about your feelings. Perhaps they've become defensive because your sobriety makes them question their own drinking. Finding new sober friends becomes increasingly important. A growing number of alcohol-free events exist nationwide, easily found through platforms like Eventbrite, Dice, and Facebook. Options include morning raves, sober bar crawls, crafting groups, and specialized communities for LGBTQIA+ and BIPOC individuals. While most sober friendship apps are US-based, UK residents can try Bumble BFF, which has filters to find non-drinkers in your area. Something remarkable happens when you genuinely like yourself. Others begin to like and respect you too. Potential partners respond positively to the confidence it takes to date sober. The greatest revelation through sobriety is becoming your own savior. By trusting, respecting, and loving yourself, you create your own happy ending rather than defining your worth through someone else's opinion. Modern dating apps like Bumble and Hinge now include sobriety filters to connect with like-minded people. Being upfront about not drinking saves awkward explanations later, though prepare for occasional rejection, which Catherine Gray aptly calls a fantastic dickhead detector. Replace Dutch courage with meditation, exercise, or a pre-date pep talk from a friend. Choose comfortable locations with good alcohol-free options. Consider interactive activities like mini golf instead of interrogation-style sit-downs, and dress for comfort rather than alcohol-induced confidence. The ultimate benefit? Knowing anyone who likes you appreciates the authentic you, not just a party persona. Romantic relationships inevitably change when alcohol is removed. A survey revealed that 92% of respondents had experienced drunken arguments with partners, and 88% believed alcohol increased the likelihood of conflicts. Alcohol lowers inhibitions, but increases the risk of saying regrettable things, misinterpreting facial expressions, and escalating to violence. Drunken arguments often mask deeper issues while preventing couples from addressing underlying problems. Simply removing alcohol can dramatically improve communication and reduce conflict. Setting boundaries around alcohol in relationships is crucial for sobriety. These aren't punishments, but internal choices we make for ourselves. For conflicts like not wanting alcohol in the house, negotiation might be needed. Perhaps keeping it in a separate room or not drinking around you. Without boundaries, resentment inevitably develops. Sobriety brings light bulb moments when you realize certain things no longer bring joy, while others suddenly do. For some, sobriety reveals true preferences, like discovering attraction to both men and women. But it's not always positive. Some find that sobriety highlights how little they have in common with partners beyond drinking, leading to necessary but difficult relationship changes. A 2019 survey revealed that being drunk was the third most common reason people cheat on their partners, ranking higher than growing apart or falling for someone else. Alcohol affects the prefrontal cortex responsible for decision-making, making it harder to distinguish right from wrong. However, drinking to that point remains a choice, so you're still responsible for your actions. Sobriety offers clarity in judgment, preventing situations that cause guilt or shame. For heartbreak, society sells us the narrative that recovery requires getting horrendously drunk to numb the pain, a temporary solution that often leads to sobbing and kebab shops hours later. But drinking only temporarily masks feelings, like holding a beach ball underwater that eventually resurfaces. While alcohol might generate different emotions initially, it typically leads to more depressive thoughts later. The key insight is recognizing that drinking merely helps avoid experiencing negative emotions when learning to process these feelings can actually fuel personal transformation. The idea of sober sex terrifies many people when they first quit drinking. A 2013 survey revealed 1 in 10 UK couples hadn't had sex without alcohol in over 6 months, with half claiming they weren't in the mood unless drinking. This isn't necessarily because alcohol increases desire, but because we associate drinking with celebration, relaxation, and being off duty. Despite popular glamorization of drunk sex, nearly half of survey participants admitted alcohol negatively affected their sex lives, with three-quarters describing intoxicated intercourse as poor. Alcohol can cause erectile difficulties for men and make arousal and orgasm harder for women, creating vicious cycles where people drink more to overcome anxiety, worsening the very problems they're trying to solve. Sobriety offers the perfect opportunity to rediscover what truly excites you sexually, starting with self-pleasure. Masturbation provides many benefits that can support sobriety by delivering some of the same rewards alcohol falsely promises. It increases confidence by helping you understand what you enjoy, relieves stress and boosts mood through dopamine release, while orgasms release oxytocin that lowers cortisol levels. It can provide pain relief, improve sleep through relaxation-inducing chemicals, and enhance libido. Building authentic confidence happens through facing fears without alcohol. When you survive scary situations sober, you prove to yourself that real confidence comes from within, not from booze. Every victory reinforces that the next challenge won't be as intimidating. Sober sex offers scientifically backed benefits that make the emotional adjustment worthwhile. Without alcohol's dehydrating effects, natural lubrication improves. Orgasms become bigger and more frequent since they happen in the brain, which is no longer dampened by alcohol. Decision-making improves, leading to safer sex practices and fewer injuries. Most importantly, without alcohol numbing all emotions, you experience deeper connection, both with your partner and yourself. While you can't control your partner's drinking, sex is more satisfying when both people are sober. Being upfront about your preferences early establishes clear communication. There's nothing wrong with admitting nervousness. Vulnerability can create magical connections. Without alcohol's false bravado, one-night stands may decrease as comfort levels take longer to establish. This raises important consent questions. If you needed alcohol to have sex with someone, was it truly consensual? Psychologist Christina Spurkova suggests asking, "Would I have sex with this person right now if alcohol wasn't involved?" If the answer isn't an enthusiastic yes, then it's a no, regardless of relationship status or past consent. The key to successful sobriety is viewing it as abundance rather than deprivation. Sobriety removes obstacles to life's genuine pleasures, restful sleep, shame-free weekends, and financial savings. In every situation, there are advantages to being sober, whether avoiding embarrassment at work events or redirecting cocktail money toward things you truly want. Your mindset determines everything. Early in sobriety, three principles can transform your relationship with alcohol-free living. First, do things that scare you. Just as you might mark breakups with new piercings to prove independence, challenge yourself through sober dating, new classes, and adventure activities. These experiences show you don't need alcohol's false courage. When you face uncomfortable situations sober, you build genuine confidence rather than dependency. Second, do more random stuff. Since drinking becomes habitual, disrupting your routine helps break the pattern. Novel activities create experiences with no alcohol associations. The more unusual the activity, aerial yoga, whitewater rafting, axe throwing, the less you'll connect it with drinking, making sobriety feel natural rather than restrictive. Third, do more things on your own. Successful sobriety requires letting go of others' opinions. Like a grandmother who enjoyed solo cinema trips, you'll learn that someone will always have something to say about your choices, so you might as well make ones that serve you. Don't wait for company to live the life you want. Book the tickets, take the class, plan the trip. Even when you sail through major events surrounded by alcohol, cravings can ambush you during ordinary moments, like a random Tuesday night watching TV when you suddenly long for a glass of wine. The simplest strategy is creating physical distance between yourself and alcohol. When cravings hit, do anything else before considering a drink. Take a bath, brew tea, brush your teeth. Just one alternative activity provides thinking space to analyze your trigger rather than acting impulsively. Before reaching for wine, ask yourself if you really want it or if you're just hungry, angry, lonely, tired, bored, isolated, tested, pressured by others, comfortable, overconfident in sobriety, or hormonal. This expanded halt bitch framework helps identify what's really driving your craving. Repeatedly explaining your sobriety can be exhausting. Your approach can depend on your mood and how the question is posed. When asked with genuine curiosity, share your full story, often prompting confessions about others' desire to cut back. For mocking inquiries, simply state, "Because I don't want to." While some suggest it's nobody's business, open conversations help normalize sobriety. In recovery circles, hashtag ODAT, one day at a time, encourages people not to feel overwhelmed by sobriety. While many find this approach helpful, others choose a different path, simply saying they'll never drink again. This often provokes responses like "never say never" from non-sober people, while sober folks warn "don't get ahead of yourself." Both perspectives are valid, especially for those in early recovery, but declaring you'll never drink again can bring peace by eliminating the mental energy of "will I, won't I" debates. When you stop drinking, you may begin feeling guilty about those left behind, people who, like you, discovered that leaving alcohol behind wasn't as easy as arriving. This guilt often accompanies sobriety, along with a renewed sense of purpose to challenge the system that kept us drinking. The alcohol industry has aggressively targeted women after realizing they represented an untapped market. Since 2008, there's been a surge in female-targeted products like light beers, low-calorie options, and pink drinks. Marketing tactics cleverly tie alcohol to women's empowerment and liberation, positioning sobriety as boring and anti-feminist. But this marketing masks alarming statistics. Alcohol-related deaths among women increased 85% between 1999-2017, and alcohol is the leading risk factor for early death among people aged 15 to 49. Similarly, the alcohol industry has capitalized on LGBTQIA+ acceptance by sponsoring pride events and releasing rainbow-themed products. While these partnerships can raise awareness and funds, they create a problematic conflict of interest since substance abuse rates are particularly high in LGBTQIA communities. These partnerships do more harm than good by subliminally associating LGBTQIA identity with drinking, overshadowing Pride's true meaning of celebrating defiance and differences. Despite Black people statistically drinking less than their Caucasian counterparts, the alcohol industry disproportionately targets Black communities with advertising. Studies show an overrepresentation of alcohol billboards in black neighborhoods. Black people may struggle more with substance abuse due to social stigma, discrimination, and violence, which can lead to self-medication. Creating more inclusive environments for non-drinkers is crucial for reducing alcohol harm. In workplaces, utilize diversity committees or speak with HR about including non-drinking options at events and suggesting alcohol-free activities. For pubs and restaurants, explain how more alcohol-free options would increase your patronage and point out the financial benefits of selling premium non-alcoholic drinks instead of soft drinks. While the Advertising Standards Authority regulates sponsored alcohol content on social media, celebrities and influencers frequently promote drinking in unsponsored posts. When confronting problematic alcohol messaging online, focus on education rather than cancellation. Be clear about why a post is problematic, provide evidence, remain polite, and offer helpful resources. We've normalized alcohol so thoroughly that not drinking is considered abnormal, despite being born sober and alcohol not being essential for survival. We've collectively embraced the false narrative that drinking is fun and glamorous while sobriety is dull. Rather than nagging others about their habits, lead by example and sparkle your sober arse off. Glamorizing sobriety and demonstrating a wonderful hangover-free life changes narratives more effectively than criticizing alcohol. Remember, if not drinking ever makes you feel alone, it couldn't be further from the truth. Society tells you that you need alcohol to be hilarious, sexy, and cool, but the truth is, you're already all those things. Alcohol doesn't give you anything wonderful that isn't already inside of you.